Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse in your brain masseur. All right. Although it still seems to me very early to be going heavy into the election, it appears all the horses are out of the gate and significant moves are taking shape early in this race. So let's look at some early calls on the race, eh? Also, the court will begin hearing arguments on same-sex marriage on April 28th, and Obama moves forward with his effort to aid and abet Iran's hegemonic ambitions to the chagrin of not only Israel, but Iraq, Saudi Arabia, even Jordan, Syria, and virtually all the rest of the desert powers. And although Obama is now publicly calling on Iran to release the four Americans it holds as political religious prisoners, his State Department admits that it is a, quote, side issue, end quote, in the negotiations. Obama thought it would be nice, though, you know, if Iran would release them as a gesture of goodwill on this Persian holiday called Nowruz or something like that. Yeah, more on that in a moment. Okay, folks, it is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Man, they're going to wear us out with this electioneering business. I don't think Obama stopped running for office throughout his entire first term. We hardly caught our breath after the last November ballot box charge before the gunshot and the gates flew open and the horses bolted out toward their 2016 presidential run. Even though Walker has not formally announced, I don't think anyone is wondering whether he will, but perhaps only when he will. In other words, he's in the race, really. It's just that he's running it a bit differently than the other horses. His game plan, it appears, is to make a burst into the pack later, after the other horses have shown their game plan and spent significant campaign funds and energy and used up much of the attention of the American voters. Well, we'll see if that strategy pays off, assuming that's what he's doing. Now, I've not made it secret that I like Walker, but I must say his performance on ABC's This Week with Raddatz back in February was, shall we say, less than stellar. And in such an unforgiving venue as ABC, it would be for any Republican candidate, that is not a good sign. I was not all that keen on Cruz's performance at CPAC, but for different reasons, important differences. Walker simply did not know what to do with the question of foreign affairs, and that's not good. You know, an important question having to do with Syria and Iran. I don't think I'd take it as far as uber-liberal Ungar did in his article, Scott Walker Presidential Bid Self-Destructs on ABC's This Week. Ungar chided Walker mercilessly for making the statement that he believed Americans want, quote, new, fresh leadership with big, bold ideas and the courage to act on it, end quote. But anyway, when Raddatz asked Walker, quote, what is your big, bold, fresh idea in Syria, end quote, well, in my opinion, Walker really did not deliver anything like a big, bold, fresh idea. And that brings me to my first point. It is a mistake to use bromides in an interview. I mean, you can get away with them in speeches, groan, but you'll never get away with them in an interview. And certainly not with someone who has an interest in making you look foolish. Folks, you can never use a bromide in an interview without opening yourself up to being slammed, and I mean hard. Now, if you throw out some campaign slogan sort of statement, well, you better be ready to deliver on it. If you talk about big, bold, and fresh ideas, well, you'd better have some handy on every major issue that might come up, because you're going to be challenged to deliver. If he had limited his statement, you know, to big, bold, and fresh ideas in specific areas where he has some, then he would not have left himself so wide open. The fact is, what we really need is to get back to the big, bold, and still fresh ideas of constitutional government, which, although may be considered oldie-moldy by millennial standards, these ideas are still new from a historical perspective, and these defined as, quote, the shared values that make our country great, limiting the powers of the federal government to those defined in the Constitution, while creating a leaner, more efficient, more effective, and more accountable government to the American people, end quote. Now, that's more like it, Walker. In fact, he said this when he announced his committee called Our American Revival. Limiting the powers of the federal government to those defined in the Constitution. Now, that's clear enough. And I'm sure he's prepared to cite several instances where President-elect Obama has abused the Constitution. Only now, Walker will need to follow up with this and clarify some of these vague expressions like leaner, more efficient, more accountable. Walker needs help here. He will need to avoid making generalized statements unless he's prepared to use such a generalized statement to bait the questions he wants to answer. So anyway, while he certainly fumbled the ball back in February, he seems to have recovered it. I'm very interested in his name for his committee, quote, Our American Revival, end quote, and his statement that this includes a return to limited government as defined in the Constitution. There you go. That's what we need. The question remains whether Walker is the man to deliver on this. I'm inclined to think that he is. Before I learned of Walker's American Revival, last Sunday night I preached a message on the role of religion in presidential politics in which I made the point that we need a revival of the essential tenets of the American religion. I'll have that message posted in the Issachar Report section sometime this week. Here I'll simply look at one point I made in the message. After I established the fact that America is a religious people and that our political system is based on religious ideas and ideals drawn from the Christian religion, and specifically, by the way, from Baptist notions about the Christian religion, notions such as soul liberty, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, you know, along with the derivatives from these, such as freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and so on, I pointed out that all denominations in America have coalesced around five fundamental religious ideas that formed the basis of American politics and government. And I call this the American religion, and I called for a revival of the American religion. The five fundamentals of the American political religion, if you will, are these. First, the idea of dependency upon divine providence, in which is included the notion that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ engages in the affairs of men as sovereign ruler over all nations. The American system of politics and government is premised on the idea that God is, he's our creator, and that he is engaged in human affairs, and that we are dependent upon his aid. I mean, this is a very clear mark of our history. Go back over it and recount the times our people have turned to God in time of need. Remember Benjamin Franklin's famous appeal to the Congress to appeal to divine providence, to pray for divine assistance, saying in effect that the longer he lived, the more convincing proofs he witnessed that God rules in the affairs of men, noting that if a sparrow cannot fall without his notice, certainly no empire can rise without his aid. And now the second tenet in America's political religion is the idea that God, as our creator, has created all men equal. And that's deeply embedded in the American consciousness, to the core of its soul. And now, then third, the idea that God has endowed every individual with certain unalienable rights. Again, a deeply rooted and fixed tenet of the American political religion. And then fourth, men have the right and responsibility to defend these endowed rights from any tyrant that would presume to deny them. In other words, Americans have the right to defend themselves against a government that would intrude upon their inalienable rights. Now that is a deeply rooted American value, American ideal, and belief. And it's directly associated with their Christian beliefs. Fifth, governments are ordained by God and limited by God, and so governments operating within those divinely imposed limits are to be supported and obeyed by God's people. That is, we believe in rule by law. And with that is an auxiliary, if you are, corollary, that says nobody, and I mean nobody, no one is above the law, including people like Obama and Hillary et al. Examine these and examine our history, and I think you'll agree that virtually all Americans held these truths to be self-evident for much of our history. Furthermore, I think you will agree that to the extent we have left these basic tenets of the faith of our founders, of the American political religion, we are coming more and more under the power of politicians who behave like tyrants. So I say we need a revival of the American political religion. I'm going to take a short break, but when I get back, we'll look at some more developments among the candidates and their campaigns. But consider that we need a revival of American religion in order to turn this nation back to the biblical idea of the separation of powers, for that notion is in the Bible. And I brought this out several times, that the whole idea of a separation, for example, of the powers of the king from the powers of the priesthood is clearly established in Old Testament Israel government. And then there's that famous verse in Isaiah where it talks about the Lord our King, the Lord our lawgiver, and the Lord our judge, indicating his sovereign power over three separate powers, the executive and the king, the judiciary, and of course the judge, and the legislative in his role as lawgiver. So all of this is rooted in the Bible, my friends, and we need a revival of belief in the Bible to recover our liberties. Listen, we need a revival of these basic tenets of American religion in order to recover the liberties that we're losing. Now, and by the way, I'm not talking about Christian faith here when I talk about the American political religion. Although these ideas in what I call the American political religion certainly develop from within our Christian heritage and are associated and rooted in them, so that if you separate the roots from that heritage, you're going to dry up the tree and kill it. But what I'm pointing out here is that, for the most part, these basic five beliefs have transcended denominations in this country, and even religions for the most part. Remember, while Israelites shared in common a religious tradition that shaped their politics and their government in their day, not every Israelite was a genuine believer back in the days of, say, David and so on. Paul said, for example, not all Israel are Israel. It's never been the case that all Americans are Christian, even though there was a time when all Americans did share in common belief in the aforementioned five fundamentals of the American political religion. Anyway, I thought it was interesting that Walker came out with this idea of our American revival. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment. Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face, to confront. Many encounters are routine happenstances, but even these can have a major impact on our lives. I'm sure each of you listening to this can think of encounters that made a difference in your life. But the greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps you've encountered God in the past, but it's been a while since you experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Perhaps you've never experienced God, and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God in 2015, and when you do, your life will take on new meaning and purpose, and you'll know that God is real. Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria. Come to the Lighthouse this Sunday morning to hear Pastor Scheidbach present another exciting and inspirational message in a series entitled Encounter God.
Is going to church for you like walking on a treadmill? You keep going and going and getting nowhere? Have you and your family really grown closer to the Lord Jesus? Are you being challenged to grow in His grace? Or are you allowed to hide your lack of spiritual growth under the cover of so-called grace? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, guiding families through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Freely you have received, freely give. We don't charge for the Brain Massage Show, but that doesn't mean we don't have to pay to air them on the radio. Many have asked if they can help. Thank you. If you'd like to join them, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Any amount is welcome. It's time for the Brain Massage Show. Here comes your host, Jerry Scheidbach.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Welcome back, my dear friends. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. And I'm lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I'm looking at the race for the office of president, and we looked at Walker's recent formation of a committee to explore the possibility he will enter the race named, quote, our American revival, end quote, and offered some insight into just what an American revival would mean in political and practical terms. But please understand, no American political revival is going to replace our need or displace our need for a revival of God's people. In fact, it is hardly likely that we can hope for a genuine revival of what I define as the five tenets of American political religion without a thorough revival of God's people, that holy nation of that peculiar people identified in the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, my friends, this whole thing called the American experiment came from the aforementioned God-fearing people in the first place. And don't forget, it's if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm sure my beloved listeners would like for me to add my 2 cents on Hillary. And I will surely turn my guns on Hillary soon enough. By the way, I do understand Gowdy plans to release his committee's Benghazi report leading into the final stretch of the campaign. Hillary must be held to account for her role in the effort to deceive the American people with the movie Made Him Do It Lie, and own whatever other culpability she has in the death of our ambassador in Libya and the 3 other brave Americans killed by terrorists in that attack. Whatever measure of the blood of Christopher Stevens, Sean Smith, Tyrone Woods, and Glenn Doherty is found on Hillary's hands or on Obama's hands, it must be brought out and justice must be done. Whether it's because of negligence, dereliction of duty, or nefarious intrigue, this matter must not be allowed to be swept under the rug, as they say. Besides Hillary's more recent demagoguery, in which she makes railing accusations against American businesses like Holly Hobby, just lying, you know, saying Holly Hobby denies choice to its employees, when the truth is it is she and her ilk that are denying choice to Christian businesses and to Christians across this nation who, she wants a woman to have the right to choose to kill her baby in the womb. But she does not want a Christian to have the right to choose not to pay for it. And, of course, she wants to topple the 1%. Well, that would include her, you know. But you also know that the only 1%ers she has in her crosshairs are those that don't contribute to her campaign. Now, if you don't know by now that Hillary is a pathological liar and that she will, I mean, this woman will sell America out to the highest foreign bidder, then, friend, you're just hopeless. The amount of foreign money pouring into her campaign coffers almost rivals Obama's. Maybe he did give her his donor list after all. But my interest right now is in how the conservative side is shaping up. We've never had so many great conservatives running for office as we have today. I have to believe God is extending mercy to us. Let's take advantage of it. But you know we're going to have to fight for every inch. I've already mentioned I like Walker. I also like Cruz, and I mean I like him a lot. I like Paul with only a few reservations. I like Carson with only a few more. I could vote for any one of these guys with a smile. Jeb Bush or Romney, you got to be kidding me. Can you envision a team including Walker, Cruz, Paul, and Carson running this country? Awesome. In a way, I'm glad they've all started out so early. It will give them a chance to make some missteps and hopefully recover. It will also allow them exposure to the hot lights of campaign scrutiny before those heat lamps go full on as we approach the summer of 2016. In other words, I hope Walker will bone up on his foreign affairs by then and demonstrate more street smart savvy in responding to liberals who are going to do all they can to trip him up. I hope Cruz settles into a more presidential posture. I hope Rand quits coming off as if the only voters he's really interested in are the millennials, who, by the way, are not going to be enough to get him in. And as for Rubio, oh boy, besides the unfortunate fact that he comes across as a little boy, he really stepped into it when he said he believed homosexuality is natural. That is, he bought into the born that way lie. Now, does he really believe that? Who is advising these guys? There is zero scientific proof that homosexuality is a fixed biological phenomenon. I mean, do I need to pull up all my research, extensive research on this question? I've looked at it very carefully, and the so-called scientific basis for this claim is bogus. I mean, my friends, it's not even as credible as global warming. I mean, that's how shallow this claim is. It is simply not true, and either Rubio is maneuvering to soften the resentment of homosexual sympathizers against him, as only 3% of the population is homosexual. He's concerned about their sympathizers, of whom there are many, and perhaps he's trying to soften their resentment toward him because of his position that he's taken on same-sex marriage, which he says he opposes. Or is he just woefully misinformed? Does he really believe this? He cannot long hold on to his opposition to gay marriage if he does. I mean, listen to what he said. Quote, "I don't believe that your sexual preferences are a choice for the vast and enormous majority of people. The bottom line is," he says, quote, "I believe that sexual preferences is something people are born with," end quote. He further stipulated that he does not take a personal stand against homosexuals marrying one another. Really, this is going to be a serious problem for Rubio. A naive position on a serious subject. For example, listen to this nonsense. He says, quote, "It's not that I'm against gay marriage," and then he goes on, "I believe the definition of the institution of marriage should be between one man and one woman," end quote. Well, if he's not against gay marriage, what's with his insistence that the institution of marriage be defined as one man with one woman? This is absolute nonsense. And that is among the most moronic statements I've ever heard come out of a pie hole. I mean, confused. But perhaps I shouldn't be surprised, coming from Rubio, a self-professed Catholic who has flirted with Mormonism and regularly attends a Southern Baptist church. And this guy is as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. You see, my friends, there is no way Rubio can ever walk that statement back. For me, and those who feel the way I do about all this, he shot his feet off for that one, at least when it comes to anything like an American revival. This issue with homosexuality is going to be a very important one in this election. You watch. "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, beholding the evil and the good. And he ponders the hearts of all men, especially the hearts of his own. And he is sovereign, and he raises up nations, and he puts them down." Someone said, and I think wisely, "He gives a people the government they deserve. He lifted up this nation, and he can and will put it down." Now, don't you think for one moment that the truth about God's sovereignty means whoever ends up holding the powers of the office of president was appointed by God to hold those powers. Hosea 8, verses 1 through 4. Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert. "Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him." Now listen to this. "They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made themselves idols, that they may be cut off." Doesn't require a whole lot of commentary on that passage to see how it applies to what we're talking about right now. America has turned its heart to the god of mammon, and has turned him from God, set up kings, but not by God, and made princes that he doesn't recognize. That is, he doesn't acknowledge. Okay. It's true. God will allow you to set up a ruler after your own heart, and then he'll judge you for doing so. That is, he will release you to your own destruction. Romans 1, 18 to 32 tells us that's exactly what he does, and very specifically with reference to this issue of homosexuality. The truth about this disease-ridden lifestyle must get out there, because we're losing the battle on this, my friends. Well, anyway, I don't really have time to go into how what Obama is doing with Iran is irksome, not only to Israel, but, my friends, also to several other nations in that region. Now, Israel just might be given a pass by Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and even Syria and Iraq to take care of Iran. I warned in a show a while back that God just might put his sword in the hand of Israel to take care of all this, and there are some prophecies that suggest that will happen eventually. Sunday night, I'll show from the Bible what is the significance of both the developments we see in America's presidential election and what is developing in Iran. Don't miss it. Sunday night, 6 p.m., be there or be square, as they used to say. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. And now you call and let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000 and say lights on if you agree with what I'm saying, lights off if you disagree. And leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. I love to hear from my audience. The number to call is 1-888-770-8000. Again, 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. A free call to anyone within the continental United States from outside of the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. All one word, lowercase, you know the drill. And you'll see a place there to write me an email. If you're in a hurry when you call, just say lights on, hang up, lights off, and hang up. But if you will, please leave a message. I'd love to hear what you think about the show, positive or negative. Either way, your feedback is important. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If after 5 minutes or less of Pastor Scheidbach's brain massage, sounds like these begin involuntarily emanating from your throat, you are a lights off listener suffering liberal colic syndrome. On the other hand, if this sound rises in your heart at the sound of Pastor Scheidbach's voice, you are a lights on listener reveling in the light of truth, justice, and the American way. Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face, to confront. Many encounters are routine happenstances, but even these can have a major impact on our lives. I'm sure each of you listening to this can think of encounters that made a difference in your life. But the greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps you've encountered God in the past, but it's been a while since you experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Perhaps you've never experienced God, and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God in 2015, and when you do, your life will take on new meaning and purpose, and you'll know that God is real. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. Come to the Lighthouse this Sunday morning to hear Pastor Scheidbach present another exciting and inspirational message in a series entitled Encounter God. The Brain Massage Show ambassadors receive many special benefits, the greatest of which is the satisfaction of knowing they are part of a strong voice for truth and traditional American values. Bronze, silver, and gold ambassadors receive an audio CD of 4 Brain Massage shows each month. These are indexed so you can quickly navigate to the segment you want to hear again or show a friend. Silver and gold ambassadors also receive a copy of the transcript of the shows with supporting documentation. Gold ambassadors have the added privilege of being invited to join the Brain Masseurs Advisory Council. Interested? Call the Listener Response Hotline and ask about the Ambassador Program. An assistant will call you back to give you all the information you need. The number is 888-770-8000. That's 888-770-8000. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your bottom line. Want to reach a large, vibrant audience with information about your products and services who are eager to show their appreciation for supporting one of their favorite radio shows? The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your bottom line. Over the last 10 years, the Brain Massage Show has become a staple in our community with thousands who tune in every week. And now you can access this exciting audience with information about your goods and services. Call Janet Fisher at 503-9945. 503-9945.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is waiting to massage your brain with scintillating insights.